G.K. Chesterton, The Honour of Israel Gow. Narrated by Alan Montero. A stormy evening of olive and silver was closing in as Father Brown, wrapped in a grey Scotch plaid, came to the end of a grey Scotch valley and beheld the strange castle of Glengyle. It stopped one end of the glen or hollow like a blind alley, and it looked like the end of the world, rising in steep roofs and spires of sea-green slate in the manner of the old French Scotch chateau. It reminded an Englishman of the sinister steeple hats of witches in fairy tales, and the pine woods that rocked round the green turrets looked by comparison as black as numberless flocks of ravens. This note of a dreamy, almost a sleepy devilry was no mere fancy from the landscape. For there did rest on the place one of those clouds of pride and madness and mysterious sorrow which lie more heavily on the noble houses of Scotland than on any other of the children of men. For Scotland has a double dose of the poison called heredity, the sense of blood in the aristocrat, and the sense of doom in the Calvinist. The priest had snatched a day from his business at Glasgow to meet his friend Flambeau, the amateur detective, who was at Glengyle Castle with another more formal officer, investigating the life and death of the late Earl of Glengyle. That mysterious person was the last representative of a race whose valour, insanity, and violent cunning had made them terrible, even among the sinister nobility of their nation in the 16th century. None were deeper in that labyrinthine ambition, in chamber within chamber of that palace of lies that was built up around Mary, Queen of Scots. The rhyme in the countryside attested the motive and the result of their machinations candidly. As green sap to the simmer trees is red gold to the Ogilvies. For many centuries there had never been a decent lord of Glengyle Castle, and with the Victorian era one would have thought that all eccentricities were exhausted. The last Glengyle, however, satisfied his tribal tradition by doing the only thing that was left for him to do. He disappeared. I do not mean that he went abroad. By all accounts, he was still in the castle, if he was anywhere. But though his name was in the church register and the big red peerage, nobody ever saw him under the sun. If anyone saw him, it was a solitary manservant, something between a groom and a gardener. He was so deaf that the more businesslike assumed him to be dumb, while the more penetrating declared him to be half-witted. A gaunt, red-haired labourer, with a dogged jaw and chin, but quite blank blue eyes, he went by the name of Israel Gow, and was the one silent servant on that deserted estate. But the energy...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?